This is episode 83 of the Android Buffet Podcast, recorded Monday, February 20th, 2011. In 5, 4, 3, 2, and 1. I've never done this before by myself. We have had Jerry unavailable, but generally we've made adjustments in advance. Jerry did not show up tonight. I hope wherever he is well. Maybe he'll join us during the midst of the program, but being as now we have a live audience, there seems to be an obligation to entertain, so I will do my best. So, Guru, how has your week been? No, I'm not going to try talking to myself. That's not going to really work very well, is it? We may add an episode, just to be fair, but we'll see what happens. In the meantime, let's see what's going on. Again, this works really much better with a co-host. So if anybody in the chat room wants to join in and comment, I'll certainly read your comments. And we will hope Jerry shows up so I don't embarrass myself too much. For those of you listening pre-recorded, my embarrassment will be immortalized for the rest of time. Let's see. Today is February 20th, which in the United States is, of course, President's Day. Now, I always felt that was a bit unfair, being as people, when they think of President's Day, only cover a minimum amount of presidents. Now, as you may or may not know, there have been more than one. In fact, let's go to the historical perspective on this. I do enjoy historical perspectives. President's Day is actually intended to honor all of the American presidents, but most significantly George Washington and Abraham Lincoln. George Washington was born on February 22nd, 1732, but according to the calendar that was used until 1752, his birthday was February 11th. Therefore, there was somewhat of a split. Lincoln's birthday fell on February 12th. Prior to 1968, having two presidential birthdays so close didn't seem to bother anybody, and February 22nd was observed as a federal public holiday to honor the birthday of George Washington, and February 12th was honored as a public holiday to observe Abraham Lincoln's birthday. In 1968, things changed when the 90th Congress was determined to create a uniform system of federal Monday holidays. They voted to shift three existing holidays, including Washington's birthday, to Mondays. The law took effect in 1971. As a result, Washington's birthday holiday was changed to the third Monday in February. There was some concern that Washington's identity would be lost since the third Monday in February would never fall on his actual birthday. There was also an attempt to rename the public holiday President's Day. Apparently, not everybody believed that all presidents deserve special recognition. Even though Congress had created a uniform federal holiday law, there was not a uniform holiday title agreement among the individual states. Some states, like California, Idaho, Tennessee, and Texas, chose not to retain the federal holiday title and renamed their state holiday President's Day. From that point forward, the term President's Day became a marketing phenomenon as advertisers sought to capitalize on the opportunity for three-day or week-long sales. In 1999, bills were introduced in both the U.S. House and Senate to specify that the legal public holiday, once referred to as Washington's birthday, be officially called by that name once again. Both bills died in committee. Any questions? Okay, well, so whether you want to only honor Washington, only honor Lincoln, or if you want to honor all of the various presidents, do so. Although, personally, I'd skip Calvin Coolidge. I've never been a big fan of his. I've never forgiven him for what he did in Boston. Anyway, let's talk a little Google. Google actually has declared that Google Public DNS is no longer an experiment, and it is now a public service. And apparently it is used by many people throughout the world. Now, I myself happen to use Google Public DNS, partly because of Time Warner Cable. They have a redirect, which makes it so that anything that I send, such as a typo, is automatically redirected to their ad search page. So I've decided that I'd rather have faster DNS, and I'd rather not be directed when I make a typo. So I bypass it in favor of 8.8.8.8 and 8.8.4.4. There's also, I think, 4.4.4.4. So just remember 8.8.8.8. And it has been deployed to IPv6. So those of you who are on the future internet, you can take advantage as well. And over the course of the weekend, I had many interesting things happening. One of them was I decided to start cleaning out my Read It Later account. Now, Read It Later is, of course, a service that allows you to hold things to read it later. There are many such services, but the Read It Later app is actually very popular. It did very well, especially on things like the Kindle Fire. So I currently, at the beginning of the weekend, I had 1,800 in there. I'm down to 1,200. My goal is to get to zero at some point, and some of this will be by being more organized. I'm admittedly not as organized a person as I should be, and I decided to clean up, and I did find a few interesting things that I decided to discuss that I had missed on previous shows, because the workflow that I use for these shows is actually, I put together the rundown, and Jerry has the easy job. He shows up in the chat room. Hello to Lightning Welk. You're listening to the live audio. Join us. And also hello to In Korea and Jay Linning. And beyond that, as I was saying, of course, I have a few things to go through. There was an interesting article. Should you tether your tablet to your phone, or should you get a 3G tablet? Now, at the time, I did not discuss this issue. Now, I want to say for the record that I have enabled the tethering feature of my phone, not by rooting it. I could have done that. Admittedly, it's an acceptable practice. Well, not by the provider, but at least people do it. And yes, I gave Jerry the easy job. I do the rundowns every week. I spend the week reading my RSS reader, and I send everything that I'm going to talk about to Read It Later. And at the end of the week, I just copy all the interesting stories into the show notes. So the show notes you see on there are the ones that I'm reading off of. Anyway, I am sorry Jerry didn't show up. I'm actually very disappointed because I've never done this myself. I'm sure he'll show up eventually. I really should have a plan for this, but we'll discuss it in the future. Anyway, again, when I do break off of my thought, it is me responding to our chat room. Should you actually be out there and listening after the fact and realizing there is a chat room at 10 p.m. Eastern on Monday nights, there's a live chat room that listens to this recording. So hello to everybody in the chat room. We have a good crowd today. Unfortunately, again, Jerry is missing. We hope Jerry is found soon. If anybody is in the Jacksonville area and would like to check on Jerry, please contact me separately, and hopefully he'll be back soon. But in regards to the issue of whether you should tether your tablet to your phone, I do pay the $20 a month to Verizon to get tethering capability. I do turn it off periodically, and since I got my Transformer Prime, I've been keeping it on. Originally, my plan was to just turn it on when I, let's say, went away for a vacation or for whatever month I needed it in. But I've actually been using it every month. I take my tablet with me and sit somewhere and read, and that works very nicely for me. So I definitely think $20 is worth it. I think it's unfair that we should be paying for internet that we're already paying for, but I'll concede the point that were I to, let's say, get a 3G, let's say, one of those little MiFis, that would cost me more money anyway. So it's cheaper. The best of both worlds, and I do look for free Wi-Fi. Next issue that has been lingering for a while, Tasker versus Locale. Now, I really did wish Jerry was here for this. Now, I had purchased Tasker and I'd fiddled with it, but the problem with Tasker is it's incredibly complex. That's not necessarily a bad thing. It allows you to do a lot of things, but the thing is, when you want to get into just the basics and just set it up quickly, it's a pain in the neck. Oh, and yes, 10 p.m. Eastern is 7 p.m. Pacific. But now Locale, which is its competitor, and at the moment cheaper, it used to be more expensive, they did lower the price, is significantly easier in the user interface department, if nothing else. The problem is Locale does a lot of its functionality using plugins, which of course cost more money. So the base product allows you to do a few things, and is $4 now. It used to be 10, and you end up paying $1 to $2 for extra plugins. So that may or may not be a better model. But a lot of people like Tasker, and a lot of people like Locale, and there is a third choice that I will be trying out next week, Llama. If any of you have tried Llama, tell me about it, because I haven't had a chance to look at it. Llama is, of course, free. There are, of course, applications that will do specific parts of what Tasker and Locale will do for specific functionality. For example, an app that I recently found in my back notes that I've installed on my phone and am using right now is the Shush Ringer Restorer. The idea being when you silence your phone with the volume button, it will ask you how long it wishes to be silent and remain silent for that period. Now, before this, I was using the time silence function. Now, time silence is part of the beautiful widget option, but it only allowed me to program up to 8 hours, and my work shift is 8.5 hours because they don't pay me for lunch. So now I can set it for 8.5 hours and know that at the end of it, my phone will automatically go back on. And if I want to get more complicated, I could always, let's say, have Tasker or Locale turn my phone off based on what my calendar says, or what day of the week it is, etc. Sounds interesting. I'm actually trying to be more organized. Right at the moment, I've just reinstalled for the first time in a while, Aspyr, which is a task manager. and now allows the creation of lists. So I'm going to talk about that when I have a little time to play more with it and see. I know a lot of features have been added since the last time I used it, and I am going to try to organize my life that way. I talk a lot about organizing my life, and part of the reason for that is I'm disorganized. So my goal in life is to become better at being organized and to manage my life better. And I think that most people who use Android devices are not just looking for games, admittedly people are, and I wish I could talk more about them. I'm not a gamer. We could always invite Matt Pepperocki back on. If he's available, he can talk about gaming. Or if anybody else is a gaming expert. Now, I like games. I'm just not, it's not something that I spend a lot of time on. I admit I probably should, but I'm not good at time management. So I talk about what you can do with your device. And one of the things you can do is become more organized and do things more efficiently and more effectively. So it happens to be a common theme with me. There are other themes, but that is a common one. Talk about a lot. Let me just adjust the microphone's cutting out. Okay. Much better. And one more app, Minimal Reader Pro. Now, this came out a while ago. I happen to have found the review that I bookmarked at the time. It's a full-featured news and Google Reader widget. There's a donate and a free version. And this is a great option. Now, it's not the option I'm using, but I do like it. And let's say if the option I was using wasn't available, I might use this one, or maybe even simultaneously. The option I use is D7 Reader. I do not like the stock Google app. It just doesn't work well for me. And on the tablet, I use Reader HD, which I have to email them. I have some new ideas. Last time I had an idea, they actually implemented it, which I really do appreciate. And let's see, what else do we have here? Again, I think the show is really based on the banter, so I'm going to try to banter with myself, but I might not be as effective. So in other news, Cyanogen Mod asked for money to resume its nightly builds. Now, apparently what happened was Cyanogen, the individual, asked for the money. Cyanogen Mod, which is the project, had been building apparently on other people's servers, and those are no longer available. So they're asking for money to buy and host servers. Now, before the end of the day, they achieved their goal. But I still say, if you use the product, being as it costs them money, and while I understand people will give freely of their time, I think it's nice to say, this costs you money, you shouldn't lose money on it, give them a donation. That does go for us too. This does cost me money and time. We do have a tip jar on the site. You can certainly tip us with an Amazon gift card or a small donation through PayPal. I do have to set up some subscriptions, so you could have send us, let's say, $1 a month. And again, it isn't about the money. You know, it's about the gesture. You know, admittedly, I love this show. I like talking to Jerry every week. I like having a chat room now that we have that. I enjoy it. That's why I'm here. But, you know, I would not complain if it didn't cost me as much, if, you know, some of that was offset. So it is your option. We're not forcing anybody to donate. I really should send Kevin McLaughlin a nice gift. He is our largest donator. Hello, Kevin. If you're listening, I'm sure you are somewhere. And he's been very generous. His contribution has allowed us to expand the memory for our server and put in some redundant backup systems, which when I have some time, I have to build out more of. If you want to hear some Linux talk, I can certainly talk about that. If Jerry were here, he'd be referring to it negatively. So he's not here, so I probably could talk about it today. Anyway, if you happen to try Cyanogen Mod, it's certainly a good build. I do have it on several devices. It is not currently my primary build, but that's because of the whole issue with lock bootloaders in the Droid 3. And I decided, even though I could do a few things to keep it stock for now, I'm still hoping for Ice Cream Sandwich delivered by Motorola this year. Or next. Or never, who knows. They say they're going to deliver it. I want my Ice Cream Sandwich. It's not so much the anything other than the fact that Google is moving forward and I feel my phone isn't. I like to have the latest thing. The Transformer update, since I'm holding a Transformer, has unfortunately been delayed by a few weeks. They're hoping for March. But March will be here in a week. So we'll get a week and a half. Anyway, feel free, those of you in the chat room, if you think I'm doing wonderfully or horribly, tell me. I'll certainly try to change. One thing that was very interesting that came out this week, poor flash storage could be the reason why your phone is slow, especially if you have a blazing fast processor. It could be that your manufacturer is using poor quality flash on your phone, which is somewhat disturbing because if you figure that the older phones that used removable storage versus the newer phones that are using mandatory built-in storage, this could be a significant issue. Because if the storage is bad, you could always, on, let's say, the original Droid, which had limited onboard memory, and the majority of its memory is external, you could rip out the card, put in a faster one, and see a speed increase. But you can't really do that if your memory is on board. Now, Murph, who has a Galaxy Nexus, and Jay Litting, who also has one, I believe there is no removable storage option on that phone. Am I correct about that? You can get back to me in a moment. LTE came up as an issue. This week, there was a great article, Why LTE Sucks Battery. And the basic issue is there is not enough LTE. There aren't enough tower support, and your phone has to retain backwards compatibility with all of the other standards, let's say HSPA Plus, 3G, 1X. So everything that your phone has, it has to be constantly switching back between all these radios. Now, if they get voice over LTE and allow your phone to, let's say, as long as it finds an LTE network to keep all the other stuff off, then that would probably help with battery life, except that's probably at least a few years down the road. And Murph, thank you for agreeing with me. Yes, it is no built-in storage on the Galaxy Nexus, which is where Google is moving. We actually mentioned it a few weeks ago. Google feels that there's better protection for the operating system, which I understand, and they found that they can expand operating system memory by merging it with the data storage. The problem with that is, of course, suddenly now you need an interface to handle your data. So you need to go and run it through a higher level of extraction because you can't access it directly anymore. And that's a potential problem. On the other hand, it isn't. Welcome, Junk Boy. Thank you for joining us. Junk Boy, if you haven't heard, unfortunately, Jerry is missing. Hopefully, Jerry will come soon. A few more things here. Google Drive may be coming. So for those of you who like Dropbox and that sort of thing, the Amazon Cloud Drive, you may be getting a similar thing from Google. So Google already has Google Docs. It already allows you storage through Picasa, and it allows you storage through Gmail. So this would actually make sense, allowing you to address that storage, not increasing what you're allowed to get, but allowing you to address that storage as if it was a drive. And I think that's actually a very positive move, but we'll see what happens with it. It means easier to fill it up if it's shared between all those things, and it may encourage more people to buy more storage from them. Oh, and Murph pointed out that peer-to-peer transfers, or PTP, I think that's what the PTP stands for, but I thought it was MTP. I may be misremembering. Data transfers worked with Linux. So essentially, one concern at least is off my mind, and that would be the higher level of abstraction. I think it is MTP, Media Transfer Protocol. But basically, that would allow you to access the data without accessing it as a drive. It'll show up as one, but it won't be that low level. A few other things here. Google filed for a patent to combat Apple's Slide to Unlock patent. What it would do is it would add icons at the top of the screen, and you would drag them in order to access those basic functions. Oh, it's photo something? Yeah, I'm going from memory. Anyway, the Aura Slate is accepting orders. It may be successful as a hacker-friendly tablet. It's not necessarily anything special, but one of the things about it is that not only do they have everything unlocked, but they encourage you to hack the thing and contribute your hacks to them. So basically, what they want you to do is make their tablet cooler so they don't have to. I think it sounds like a good idea. The pricing looks good. You may end up with less of a tablet than you would get otherwise, but it certainly looks promising, and they're offering special discounts for beta and developers. So if you're interested, there will be a link in the show notes. It's the Aura Slate. HP CEO Meg Whitman is claiming that the Motorola Google tie-up may cause Android to end up as a closed system, which, in my opinion, indicates that the CEO of HP doesn't know what the heck she's talking about. And Junk Boy, about the Aura Slate, you are right, it sounds great after 6 months of hacks and mods, but somebody has to lead the way. The same way that the, what was that thing, the HP touchpad that was totally unsuccessful is very successful with an aftermarket hack because the price was so cheap. This has potential. Speaking of HP, since I was in the middle of talking about them, HP indicates that their open operating system, webOS, will certainly be more successful because it has been up until now, considering how HP has managed it. I think it's actually pretty disappointing because webOS looks nice, but it's never gotten the support. Now that it's an open system, they think that it's going to be successful, but the problem is it may just be too little too late. Back to CyanogenMod, they may be baking in on-screen's cornerstone into the OS, which would be adding improved multitasking. So many people are not enamored with the multitasking built into Honeycomb and ICS, finding it clunky. This may put in a more useful and preferred multitasking system, but we'll see what that is. So, admittedly, you don't have to include it, being as you could compile your own. It may be that they will offer a traditional one and a hacked one, but more on that as it develops. In some app news, new versions of the Opera browsers, both Opera Mini and the fuller version of Opera, will be coming at Mobile World Congress. Xfinity TV for Android was updated with favorite and recent channels and more. Any of you who happen to be Xfinity or Comcast users will probably be happy about that. I'm neither of those things, but I will be happy that things are changing. Hansend, which is a very popular SMS program, has a public beta version 4.0, which allows you to bind your phone number and send text messages for free using their network. Now, this actually sounds very interesting, but I have Google Voice. Why do I want to bind my phone number and send things over their network, especially if it means that the only people who can get my text messages are people who are on their network, whereas with Google Voice, anybody can get my text messages. It may be that I don't understand it because I haven't been able to get the full literature and I didn't install the beta product, but if anybody has any clarification on that, they can certainly follow up with me. Paper Camera, which is a special effects camera app, of which there are many, now supports video and Android Beam. Those of you with an FC will be familiar with Android Beam. It allows you to beam information to other Android phones who are equipped with Android Beam. So you can, of course, send things to other people, but only if they have a Nexus S or a Galaxy Nexus, which sort of limits you in that regard, I believe. There's a new root backup app, Backdrop Root, which backs up apps and settings, offers the option to turn your settings into an update zip file, which will restore your data automatically, and an auto-restore option that will pull in the backed-up data when you install an app from the market. This might be an alternative to Titanium Backup, but with the exception of that last one, which automatically pulls in the backed-up data when an app is installed, I believe that Titanium Backup does all these things already. But there's room for competition in the market. Bump has been updated to version 3.0. It supports contact and photo sharing, as well as mutual friend search, device sync, and app recommendations. So if you're walking down the street and you see another Android user, you may bump your phone against theirs, and you could see if you have any mutual friends. And then suddenly you'll know each other. It'll be, hey, Junk Boy, we both know each other through Murph and Jay. We have mutual friends. We should be friends too. Okay, that's enough levity on that. If you're interested, give that a try. Skype has also been updated. It's adding a new call interface, which looks very nice. I'm going to have to make a Skype Android call in order to see how that works. Barclays, which is a popular British bank, which is also popular for buying other banks in the United States. They have a new app, Ping It, which makes it easy to spend money and repay others. It's currently limited to customers of their bank, but they plan on expanding it to the general public. So if you want to send money to other people, why not use your bank? As long as it's free, make it easy. I'm a big fan of electronic banking. If I have to talk to a bank teller, I feel that I failed in the transfer of money. That's why I have never entered a branch of my current favorite bank, because they have no branches. How's that for an idea? Don't have any branches. But if I call them on the phone, they talk to me. They're open 24 hours a day. I haven't actually called them in a while. SwiftKey has passed 5 million downloads. I am a big fan of SwiftKey. It's a great keyboard, and it's offering an update and 25% off for new users. So if you haven't bought SwiftKey already, which I'm sure you have if you've been listening to the show, we talk about it regularly, go out and get it for 25% off now. And Murph is saying, if there are any branches to the bank, just leave. Well, that's what happened when I had a TD Bank account. I still do keep it open, but that's because I want to use the change machine they offer. And they charge you a service charge if you don't have an account. But I'm a big fan of not having a branch. Because as I said, if I have to talk to somebody on the phone, it means that their customer service has failed. Not with every organization, but it means that their automated systems, the ones that are designed to make it so I don't have to talk to them, have not succeeded. So any company that I have a business relationship with that I never have to talk to, that things just work, I'm enamored with them. That's how I wish my relationship with the cable company was. I don't want to talk to them. They send me a bill, I send them a check. Actually, not a check, but online bill pay. But either way, they provide me service, I send them money. No need to talk. If something new is happening, they can send me an email. They don't have to send me a personalized email. They can update me on what's going on. If I need to know what my bill is, I can go online, pull up the bill. I don't need to have a conversation with them, because if I'm having a conversation with a customer service representative of my cable company, it means there's a problem. It means something isn't working. It means I have a problem. So the best business relationship with most organizations is to not talk to them. Or so I think. EA Sims Free Play has been released. If you like The Sims and you don't want to pay for a full-featured version, there is a limited version that allows you to play with Sims. So if you want to spend your time with your phone playing with virtual people, give that a shot. You can also try out the ICE card simple app. It can be accessed by emergency personnel, and it will tell things like your blood type, your emergency contacts, and other medical information. The only thing I haven't quite figured out is, how do the emergency medical personnel know you have an ICE app? I know how, you know, if you hit the emergency button on your phone, it will allow you to dial certain emergency numbers, which makes sense if it's on the main screen. But how would anybody go into your app drawer and launch your In Case of Emergency app? I'm going to have to look into this further. And Murph is asking if I have had a bad customer service experience lately. Usually. I have impossibly high standards. I expect that companies hire people who accept logic. So when I express a logical point of view, I expect them, even if their policy forbids it, to at least admit to me that what I say makes sense. And if they feel that what they are saying doesn't match up with me, that they try to find a way to satisfy me. Now, I know that can't always happen. I know from experience that companies cannot always provide what it is you want. But I feel when you have a legitimate point of view, somebody should listen to it and respond appropriately. And I can tell you stories on both sides of the fence. I know people who work in customer service. I know people who have bad customer service experiences. I remember a few years ago that somebody went and called up, I think it was Delta, a friend of my mother's, and she wanted to fly from New York to California, California to Florida, and Florida back to New York to visit two of her relatives during her week of vacation. The Delta representative told her that that wasn't possible and that she should drive. Now, anybody who's familiar with the distance between all these places is aware that if somebody tries to drive from New York to California, that's going to take their entire vacation. So I use this as an example. I wasn't in on this conversation, but I heard the story and it stuck with me. It's somebody who doesn't know what they're supposed to be doing. They did not represent their company well, and their company probably didn't pay them sufficiently to do so. So I believe well-qualified employees who are knowledgeable about their subject matter and empowered to make basic decisions and empowered to assist customers in finding the answers to more complicated decisions. And if you want more on that, I suggest you read Customer Service for Dummies. I have. As well as many other useful books, The Happiness Economy by Gary Vaynerchuk. Very good one. And a few other interesting books on the subject of how companies can deal with their customers. And Murph is commenting that I have unreasonable standards. I do. I was diagnosed that way. I was told that my problem was that I was too keenly aware of how messed up the universe was. So my psychological problem is apparently that I am aware that the rest of the universe is nuts, and I have trouble coping with it. I do cope with it, but I find it hard. I'm wondering why other people cope with it. Because if we all stopped coping with how nuts people are and how nuts our systems are, maybe somebody would be out there doing something about them instead of just accepting it. But I deal. I cope with the universe every day. You know, it's a day-by-day process. Moving along, the Amazon MP3 app was updated. It's using the Kindle Fire interface with the gray background. I think it's actually a nice improvement. There's tablet support and ICS support. So if you buy your music through Amazon, give it a try. It's a very nice app. And Murph is commenting, if we stop coping, we will become nuts. What are we now, exactly? Aren't we a bit nuts? Probably more nuts if we stopped coping, but who knows? Moving along, Udder offers a compelling extension to Google Voice Action support. Now, this is a video. You can't actually try this. But during the video presentation, which is 22 minutes, which you can find linked in, the developer who's working on this program demonstrates that, one, there's a basic artificial intelligence which tries to extract data about you from your various apps and use it to respond to you. But also, what it does is, when you ask it to do something, it launches your preferred application. So if your preferred email application is Gmail, it will launch that. If your preferred email application is something else, it will launch that and send the data over. I'm not quite sure what the technical details of that, and I'm looking forward to seeing more. I don't know exactly how feasible it is, but the idea that the Voice Action app or any other app can send data in a format that any app, even one that it doesn't know about, can understand is something I was talking about last week with Jerry, Intense and Android, which is this concept that the developer can make specific support for a service, but it can also send the data to that service's app and let the other app decide what to do with the data once it gets there. And Murph, I agree, society is nuts. And there's probably nothing we can do about it. We do have a few other things to cover tonight. This is the Android Buffet Podcast. You can tune in with us every Monday night at 10 p.m. live. Hopefully Jerry will be joining us next week. And we did get some voicemail. We haven't had voicemail in a while, and I really wish Jerry was here to hear it. I did not pre-screen this voicemail, so this is the first time I've heard it. There are two voicemail messages. Let's see what they are.
Hello, Jerry. Hello, Guru. You asked voicemails. Door-to-door geek delivers. First, I'm sad to say I cannot join you guys live anymore. I'm starting up another podcast. That's now 5+ podcasts each week. I want to say hi. Thanks for the show. Also, Guru, I cannot thank you enough for mentioning that tablet-based Google Reader, RSS feed reader. That thing has been gold. Absolutely love it. The only app I want to mention is Grand Theft Auto 3. While not politically correct video game, it's smooth like butter on my Dell Streak 7. Having loads of fun with that. All right, guys. I'll talk to you later. Bye.
Well, that's disappointing. 5 podcasts, and he can't squeeze us in. Beyond that, it's probably time to find out what the 5th podcast is. I think I can name 3 of them at least. He did send one other message because it's from the same phone number.
Hello, Guru. Hello, Jerry. Door-to-door geek. By the way, Jerry, congratulations on losing the weight. You're a better man than I. I hope you hit your goal weight soon, quick, and with no pain whatsoever. All right. Talk to you guys later. Bye.
But Jerry, sorry you missed that. And Murph, yes, I know he's competing in my time slot. I'm not sure if he's doing the show live. I believe he does his shows live, so it is quite possible that we will have to crush him when the Nielsens come out. Are there Nielsens for this podcast? Well, we have stats, but I don't think we have Nielsens. We'll see. Jerry has never been a big fan of Nielsens. Every time we've brought it up, he's sort of poo-pooed the Nielsens. I'm not sure why. Actually, I have some ideas, but I'm not sure why, at least in the sense that I am not sure why he doesn't take it with at least the same grain of salt as any other statistic. But good luck to the door-to-door geek on whatever endeavor he's doing on Monday nights. I'm sure he'll tell me what it is and I'll remember, but I know he's doing many interesting podcasts. A few other news, at least since I usually tell Jerry about my personal life. Over the course of last week, I had my kitchen and bathroom painted, which is an adventure in itself, and I've been letting the paint dry for an extra period of time in my bathroom, and tomorrow is the inauguration. I am going to take the first post-painting shower, as exciting as this is. Now, I mention this because I've learned a lot of things in my bathroom. I know this is surprising to people, but I do tend to learn these things. For example, I learned from the mistakes I made when I painted my own bathroom to hire somebody to paint my bathroom. I also learned that you have to wait extra time on a bathroom because the moisture that gets into the air due to a hot shower can affect the paint of your wall if you don't give it enough time to dry. You also need additional layers in a bathroom if you want it to last. So the painter put 2 coats on and an extra primer to make sure that there would be no mold, no mildew. And I've been replacing fixtures. I've been in the bathroom working very hard, and I've been in the kitchen putting up new things to make sure that my experience is good. And I actually want to figure out how to incorporate Android in there. So does anybody know, do they sell an Android shower curtain? How about Android soaps? So maybe I'll declare it to be the Android toilet. I'm not sure how serious I am about that, but every few years I change the theme of various rooms in my house. So in my kitchen now, I move some things around. Covering up my breaker box is a poster, which is commemorating the departure of the Titanic. Now, a lot of people who would have originally saw that poster, the original one, not the print that I have, would have been very disappointed because this is the departure of the Titanic on its return voyage. So all those people, I hope, got their money back. But it's announcing that for $36, I could get transport from New York to Liverpool. And I think that's just an interesting idea. I have that up on the wall, and I have it covering my breaker box right now. Mostly because it's the only thing I have that is big enough to cover my breaker box and allow me easy access to it. Now, the Titanic actually sunk April 15th, 1912. And we are coming on the 100th anniversary of the sinking of the Titanic. And I've heard that there's a cruise that's actually going to take interested sightseers to where the ship went down. So they're going to reenact the sailing of the Titanic minus the sinking part. Sounds interesting to me. So that is my random thought for the week. Over on Gadget Wisdom, I did post something last week talking about my continual adventures in home improvement. You'll see a little of that going in future weeks. I talked about a few decisions that I've made lately. I will be talking about my recent router purchase. I figure people seem to respond very nicely to when I talk about technology that I've explored and know what my thinking process was, and people use that to govern their own thinking process. So I'll be talking and revisiting my conversation on dual flush toilet conversion. Yes. I may be one of the few people on a tech blog who actually explained the difference between a concentric ring valve, a concentric float valve, and a ball cock. The ball cock being the cheaper version of the toilet where the ball floats up on the water, thus shutting off the water. I also will be talking about my adventures in induction cooking. And what was it I was talking about this week? Let's see. I know I talked about induction cooking. I definitely talked about another topic. Now this is going to bother me. Anybody remember what I blocked about this week? So, and again, I apologize. As I said, I'm not fully prepared for the loss of Jerry. And I intend to have a contingency plan for the future in the event that Jerry is unavailable. Oh yes, I talked about home water filtration as a topic, because I recently added a water filter. And you can see what water filter I purchased and what were my considerations. So if you're interested in that sort of thing, I'll give myself a little free advertisement because I am doing twice as much work as I normally do. I have to handle banter. And somebody has asked me if I can call Jerry right now. So there's Skype ringing. Phone is ringing. Phone is ringing. Yes. But if it makes you feel better to have somebody answer the phone, I'll give it a shot.
Hello, welcome to Skype call testing service. After the beep, please record a message.
She always answers the phone. Such a lovely woman. Anyway, we're going to end a bit short this week. I have nothing to add from Jerry. There's always a lot of interesting things going on. You can certainly check out Catch Jerry. Send him an email at jerry.jones@gmail.com and ask him where he is. You can, of course, tweet him asking where he is at @Jerry_Jones. You can find him on Google Plus at +JerryJones and ask him where he is. Jerry, we miss you. Where are you? You can find me at Gadget Wisdom. You can find me on the blog at gadgetwisdom.com. I do some writing there, and I wish I would do more, but there's always so much to do. After all, I have to put the wall plates back on the wall now that they've been painted. And it's going to be a busy couple of weeks for me. February is always a bit hectic. I will be at the Northeast GNU Linux Fest on March 17th, I believe it is. I will be there. I know Dan Fry will be there because I think we're carpooling. And if any of you are in the Worcester area or within driving distance of Worcester, why not stop by? That's where I met Murph. I gathered Murph can't join us this year, but we'll be thinking of him. Beyond that, I am going to try to get to the Southeast Linux Fest in June. I haven't made my arrangements yet. I do have to see about work coverage, but I will give it a shot. Also, after March 17th, I was thinking of going to see Jerry. I have a couple days off after that. I'm never good at scheduling vacations. And maybe I'll go see Jerry and surprise him. Actually, I'll tell him I'm coming, but I've always wanted to visit Jacksonville. And since they opened it, I wanted to see Legoland. So maybe I'll go see Legoland and swing through Jacksonville on my way, in one direction at least. Beyond that, you can, of course, follow the tweets of Android Buffet, where I notify everybody of the episodes, at Android Buffet. You can use the contact form on our website in order to send us a message or email podcast@androidbuffet.com. Should you want to, like the door-to-door geek, leave us a voicemail. That's 201-2-WENICA. Or, of course, you can record it on one of those online sites and send us a link to it. Please do not, unless it's very small, please do not attach it to your email as it tends to slow down things. But if you really feel the need to do it, we would rather get the voicemail from you than not. So feel free to send us an audio message. We'll play it. Just remember, please be clean. We are a family-friendly show. We are a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's there. You can check out their other shows at techpodcast.com. They have many interesting shows. I've actually been looking at a new one, and I'm trying to mine their talent and see if any of them would be interested in being a guest over here. So I'm trying to listen to one potentially interesting show, interesting in the sense that it would be interesting to our listeners. Obviously, the shows are interesting to somebody, or they wouldn't do podcasts. Somebody must be listening. We are also a proud member of the Winnica Media Group. You can check out some of our other projects. Some of them are on hiatus. Some of our writers are on vacation for President's Day. How rude of them. I went to work today. I thought about the presidents, but I worked hard. And the rest of our writers are spending time with their families and enjoying President's Week. Shame on them. And now that brings us to the end of our program. It has been short this week, but I had to do double duty, so I talked twice as much. Unfortunately, we still came up short. Those of you interested in the Northeast Linux Fest, that's northeastlinuxfest.org. Those of you interested in us, that's androidbuffet.com. Join us every Monday night, unless otherwise advised, here Where I, and usually Jerry Jones, will offer you the wisdom of the ages. We'll be back next week, or I think I will be. Jerry, please come back. We miss you. I hope you're all right. I honestly don't know where Jerry is. I'll be trying to find him all week until I hear from him. But I hope it worked out without him, and I hope he isn't upset that we kept going, because, you know, if we didn't have a live show, then I would just reschedule and wait until he was available. But I owe you guys a show, so I made sure that one was available. And I will try to have a contingency plan for the future. This is, once again, the Android Buffet Podcast, episode 83. We'll see you next week. Well, I'll see you next week. Jerry, come home. We miss you.